Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing what you're discussing. It's feedback time, boys and girls. All that and more right after this ad we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And joining us in taking care of the chat is the lovely Ashley Coffin. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing good, producer Ashley. Thanks for joining us again. Today we're just handling feedback because there's been so much news, so much going on that we have not had time to talk about all the feedback that has been coming in. And today we're not going to have time to get to all of it, but we're going to do what we can. So, Jeff, let's jump in. What do we got with feedback?
Tom Fitzgerald says, "Hi, Matt, Jeff, and Ashley.
What?
Here's a question I'm sure will be divisive.
Hey, boy, hey.
Do you think that Disney is gearing up to have Marvel and Star Wars be in the same universe? They own both properties, and I see no reason why they couldn't be in the same universe. And discuss. Thanks for the great work you guys do. P.S. I think Black Panther should be played by Denzel Washington's son. I forget his name. The guy from Ballers and Black Klansman, not as T'Challa, but as a new character. He has the charisma, intensity, and physical build to be great.
He is a great actor.
That is John David Washington.
John David Washington.
He's wonderful. Absolutely
he's
wonderful.
Amazing.
He's in Tenet, right?
Yes, main character in Tenet, and he was freaking awesome. So
and Black Klansman was like the best.
Yeah, Black Klansman is great. I've seen all the episodes of Ballers as well. I really like that show, and I think he's great on it. Yeah, really wonderful. Definitely got the physicality for it. And I'm down with him being anywhere he wants to be in the MCU, really. But yeah, I could totally see him taking up the mantle.
Man.
I don't know what character he'd be, because again, he'd have to be a new whole cloth character.
Yeah, and they said they're not going to recast T'Challa at all.
So they have to, you know, find someone else to take up the mantle. Maybe there's someone who came in the 5 years and took up the mantle, or like took up some responsibilities that, when he comes back, or when we come back to see what Wakanda's like, he'll have made a name for himself or whatever.
Yeah, maybe they start a democracy instead of a trial by combat because... or like a voting system.
Yeah, I do think that might be smart. Yeah.
Just for this, situation.
President of Wakanda.
Yeah, absolutely. Main question here, though, Tom had, do we think that Marvel is setting up Marvel and Star Wars to be in the same universe? Jeff, what you think?
They already are.
Oh, yeah? Just a long time ago?
Star Wars is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Like,
yeah. Well, there's no conflict
it's
there.
It's whatever.
It's just the past.
Yeah.
It's the past.
In answer to his question, I don't think they're ever going to cross them over. Although, the more we get into multiverse stuff, it's absolutely possible. We've got we're about to have multiverse and time travel. So, yeah, whatever. Maybe.
Maybe. Why not?
I don't think they're planning to do that, but could be.
Nah, it seems a little ridiculous to cross over Marvel and Star Wars. There's just not any... There's not any precedent for it, and there's no reason to cross the stories over.
I bet there's a comic book where... I bet there is. I know there's Star Trek meets the X-Men.
Yeah, there is.
There's absolutely Star Trek meets the X-Men. There's like Ninja Turtles meets the X-Men. They do all kinds of stuff in comics, so it would not surprise me if there's somewhere a Star Wars X-Men or Star Wars Marvel crossover. There's just gotta be. Are you checking it out, or are you looking it up?
No, I'm looking at the next feedback. We don't have time for this, Matt.
Okay, you do that. Read the next feedback. I'll see if there's a Star Wars Marvel.
That's Ashley's job.
I'll do it while I'm on mute.
Yeah, producer Ashley. Dylan Bruce Hunsinger says, "Matt and Jeff, Marvel just took my heart out and injected adrenaline into it and put it back in my chest. I am absolutely dumbfounded by the amount of things that were announced. Hype overload, all caps. I am especially excited about Fantastic Four, directed by John Watts. So obviously John Krasinski and Emily Blunt are the big names, would be perfect, and are the pipe dream for Mr. Fantastic and Invisible Woman. But if Marvel were to go a younger direction, what about Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone? Andrew has the look and can definitely play the wise guy, smartest person in the room, a-hole, and Emma Stone has shown that she is more than just a recycled rom-com actress. Not to mention that their chemistry in The Amazing Spider-Man series was one of the few bright spots. I know it's rumored that they'll be in the Spider-Man 3 movie, but what if that's just a major troll job by Marvel? Make everyone think it's cool guy Peter and Gwen Stacy, and then they go see the movie and boom, it's a Fantastic Four. It's been planted. The seed's there. Mm. I know it's unlikely, but dang, that would be fun to see. Keep up the great work and good luck managing this mega dump of content. Love you 300. Until next time.
I love the love you 300s. I love it. First off, let me just bring into the live chat here and let everyone see this cover of Spider-Man versus Darth Vader that we have here. This comic book from, it looks like probably the 80s or 90s. So yes, there have been crossovers.
There is precedent. Okay. There is
precedent. There's technically no like real crossover. I gave it a deep goog. I used a bunch of different words, and there hasn't been a significant crossover between the universes, but apparently Marvel produces Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
All I'm saying is Spider-Man versus Darth Vader exists. There is precedent. but yes, there's not any major precedent. Clearly, there's all kinds of what ifs in the world, and this is one of those. Okay, but to get to Dylan's question, I think that they are both great actor and actress. They do fit the roles well, but I can't imagine them putting them in those roles. I don't know. I think that they're going to go a little older. But I may be wrong, but I think they're going to get a little older for Reed Richards.
Yeah, I don't think that Andrew Garfield's really got the gravitas, the presence that Reed Richards requires, but he could be a really good Johnny Storm.
He could be a really good Johnny Storm. I agree with that. No. I don't know if he's... You don't think so?
No, I need my Johnny Storm to be like... He wouldn't look good blonde. I know he doesn't have to be blonde, but Johnny Storm has that like, hey, that personality, that over the top and that confidence. And I just don't think Andrew Garfield has that.
I think he does. That's totally the way he played Spider-Man.
Yeah. But like, well, not the way he played Peter Parker, but the way he played Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know.
Well, Johnny Storm doesn't wear a mask, so no.
Right. We're not saying that Spider-Man from The Amazing Spider-Man has to be removed from there and put in as Johnny Storm, but that would be hilarious. Like, blonde wig on the Spider-Man mask.
Producer Ash is not on board, so I guess the answer is no. We can't see this, Dylan. No, I can see it. The actor's doing a good job, but I don't think they're going to go that way. I also think that if they're going to connect that strongly to the previous Spider-Man movies, I think they're going to just bring them in because I think that's what'll get the most butts in seats. And I think it'll be the most interesting. I think they've already played a duo in a superhero movie. I think it'd be kind of weird to just recast. It'd be that sort of referential weird.
Yeah.
That like isn't always wonderful. I don't know.
It would be really off-putting, I think.
I think so too. I don't really know why exactly. It just feels like,
I don't like it.
It feels like it would be hard for me to ever look at the movie and go, you get it? It's a reference to the Spider-Man 3 movie. And I need to look at Fantastic Four and believe in them as like their own thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Part of me really wants them to use a bunch of new, fresh, just I'm so into big studios giving people like chances or finding, you know, those special somebodies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like the way that they're doing that for Miss Marvel.
Yeah. And even with like Gal Gadot, like I know she was in a couple movies, but.
Yeah. Pulling someone from relative obscurity and making them the lead of a Marvel movie is huge. It's hard because you got to trust that person. But Marvel has it at this point. They can put anyone in a role and get the butts in seats. And now it's just a matter of.
Get results.
Yeah. Now it's just a matter of getting the right person with the right chops to really inhabit these characters in a way that makes us really want to keep watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I kind of also feel like Marvel's got the pick of the litter, so to speak. They can choose any freaking person they want at all.
Kind of. They still have a big Hollywood contingent that is like, oh, those Marvel movies aren't real movies. They're not real films.
Well, yeah. But like, what I mean is like when they have the... You know, they have the relative unknowns, like all of these relative unknowns are like clamoring to be in a Marvel movie.
For sure.
You don't have to get these big, you know, you don't have to get your Robert De Niro's or whatever to agree that Marvel projects are real movies when you've got this like slew of people who are just like, please let me put my name attached to Marvel. I would just want to be in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
And if they're a good actor, they can, you know, they've just got like, sure, you know, if all 1,000 of you come at me and tell me what you know, why should I pick you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen the Vegas casting odds for Fantastic Four?
Oh, yes.
Yes,
I know you have, Ashley.
I have a little bit. What's notable about them?
I wanted to bring them up in that there's a bunch of names on each of the things, and I wanted to look at Human Torch because Ashley said she doesn't like Andrew Garfield for
Garfunkel.
She doesn't like Andrew Garfunkel for Human Torch. But what about let's pick a name, Dacre Montgomery?
Is that guy from the Elton John movie?
No, that was Taron Egerton. He's slightly higher on the list.
Okay.
Dacre Montgomery was in. He was in the Power Rangers movie as Jason.
Didn't see.
He was also Stranger Things.
Oh, who's the Stranger Things?
Oh, the brother or the older brother, the pale
older
one.
He's the older brother of the girl from California who got died in the most recent one. He's the bad guy.
Weird.
Tell me, say the name again.
Dacre Montgomery or Dacre Montgomery.
It's not a real name.
They want him for Johnny Storm.
He is at a +700 odds.
Oh, I definitely see that.
Interesting.
He was like the bully.
Yeah, no, I know who he is.
Brother.
I'm just putting it together for my... and also, that Spider-Man versus Darth Vader thing is not real, that comic.
Oh, really? It's not a real comic? Yeah,
it's from a site called Super Team Family, and they are a Patreon that started in 2013. And that it was also... There is another podcast called, like... it's not What If, but it's something like that. Who would win? And that, if you look at it, they did that a couple times, like Spider-Man versus Darth Vader with different hosts. So that comes up a lot, but this is not a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that one had a DC logo at the top too.
Yeah. But if you see, it says Super Team Family Presents, I'll send you the link.
Right. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So the comic didn't exist or it wasn't. Uh-uh. Okay. So it's just an image on the online. Okay. My bad.
Yeah, this is the greatest team ups that never happened, but should have. We post a new cover poster every single day.
Oh, okay. Boo.
Very, very good. They did a good job making it look believable.
Yeah, they did. They did.
So back to Human Torch, right?
Sorry. Just doing my badoop job.
No, yeah, it's thank okay. you. Thank you for correct the real-time corrections. Probably everyone who wanted to correct us has already written in, though. But yeah, no.
It's too late. It's
Don't
too
put late. A computer in front of me. I will look things up.
No, we, it's good. It's great.
So the top two people that are, I guess, tied for odds to play Human Torch are Zac Efron, which I don't really like.
I don't like. Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. And Anthony Ramos.
Don't know who that is.
He was in the Broadway musical Hamilton as John Lawrence and Philip Hamilton.
Okay.
Oh, he was in A Star Is Born.
Was he?
Yeah, he was Gaga's friend.
Okay.
I don't remember him from that, and I've seen him as Philip, but I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, and behind those two, you've got Riz Ahmed and then Taron Egerton.
Riz Ahmed feels old for that role.
Does he?
Doesn't he?
Does he?
I don't know.
He's 38.
Yeah, I think of Johnny Storm as younger, but maybe. And also, he's already in the Venom verse.
Yeah, oh, that guy.
Yep. He's already the villain in Venom.
I'm seeing a picture of him with blonde hair and I don't love it.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now. He's got he's got blonde hair at Comic-Con and I'm like, I don't know. Mm. That kind of works.
I don't know if they'd make him blonde for that role or not.
And he assumes Sue Storm's brother, so I guess they kind of, unless they're going to say they're adopted, they got to stick with the same nationalities for Sue Storm and Johnny Storm, right?
Well, sure.
That'll open things up a lot.
They did not in the most recent Fantastic Four. They could really do anything they want with nationality.
I try to pretend that movie doesn't exist.
Yeah, Johnny Storm was
adopted.
I guess I don't remember.
Okay.
I'm assuming because they were of different races and they were supposed to be Johnny and Sue Storm.
Yeah.
I don't know who this lady is. Lily James.
Okay. This is going to take a really long time if we go through all these. So no. Throw at us if you want. Throw us the first top two of each one and we'll talk about them and see. So that's for Johnny Storm. What's the top two on the Sue?
On Sue Storm, we have Emily Blunt, winner.
That thing.
And Lily James.
Lily James.
Ooh, I love her. Where is she from? She was in Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies, Baby Driver.
She was Cinderella in Cinderella.
Oh, I like her a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She was Deborah in Baby Driver.
Cool. I think
she's dating Chris Evans, or so the rumor mill says.
Interesting.
Ooh, lucky
so we
gal.
Don't like her, is what you're saying.
I'm not jealous of other women's success. I'm like, good for you, girl.
Okay, so what do we got for Reed Richards?
For Reed Richards, we have John Krasinski.
Of course.
+225, which is amazing. But also, John David Washington is at +400.
Interesting. We just spoke about him for a possible T'Challa replacement. I love him as an actor and him as a Reed. I could see it. He has a really like kind of asshole demeanor sometimes. Like I could get it.
He could do a Johnny Storm.
Yeah. Oh no, we're talking about Reed Richards.
I know, but I'm also casting him for both.
Yeah, he could do Johnny Storm as well.
He's like, I'm putting him wherever the fuck I want.
Language.
Sorry, is Gail on? Is Gale Force One in the chat?
Who else is in there? Who's the Thing?
The Thing.
The Thing, yeah. Ben Grimm.
Top two names for The Thing are Stephen Graham.
Okay.
Who, like, I didn't know who he was until I looked at his picture and I was like, oh, I recognize him from Snatch and from Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
Okay.
And then Dean Norris.
Dean Norris.
Who was Hank Schrader in Breaking Bad.
Oh, yes. What are you laughing at,
Jeff? Sorry, I just have the stupidest thought.
Okay.
Dean Norris as the Thing just being like, Jesus, Marie, it's minerals.
That is so very funny.
Stupid. Okay. I'm good.
So is there any other fan castings in the Fantastic Four or the odds castings we should touch on? Doom, I'm guessing, is in there.
Yeah, Doom is the other one. And I really like like the whole list. Because Giancarlo Esposito is in there.
Yeah, Giancarlo Esposito would be awesome.
Mm.
Cillian Murphy is in there.
Ooh. He has my vote.
I like Cillian Murphy.
Mm-hmm. Tied with him is Michael Fassbender.
Oh, I love both of them so much.
Could be great.
Tied with them is Viggo Mortensen.
Interesting. Yep.
Oscar Isaac is in there.
Ooh,
mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Christoph Waltz is in there.
He's so short.
Doesn't matter. Phenomenal as Dr. Doom. And the last one that I really, really, really like is Nicolaj Coster-Waldau.
Jamie Lannister?
Jamie Lannister, yeah.
Ooh, I could see him as a Doom.
Yeah. I wish that Adam Driver and Fassbender were not in Star Wars and those X-Men movies, because either one of those I think would be a perfect Doom. I think Adam Driver would have done really well, but I think he's traumatized.
I think Adam Driver's a great call for Doom. Honestly.
His voice.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see it.
He might be a bit young, though.
It depends on how old they go with all this cast.
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair.
With Adam Driver, he has to get rid of the stink of being the, like, emo kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I feel like he left off from Girls, and he's the emo kid, right? And mm-hmm. then you get into Star Wars, and it's like, okay, he's going to be this badass dark Sith. And then he still kind of had this emo vibe, and, like, mm-hmm. I don't think he's shaken that yet. And so for him to be Doom, he'd have to actually be menacing and not just sound menacing. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd like to see it.
We have gone really deep on this, and we're supposed to be doing a feedback episode, and now we're not going to make it through anybody's feedback. So let's get back to the feedback. This was a 20-minute derailment.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Jesus Marie, it's minerals.
Yeah, it was all worth it for the Jesus Marie, it's minerals. What does Andre Sparks have to say?
He says, hey guys, well, after Disney Investor Day, it's confirmed they won't recast Black Panther 2. Notice how they said Black Panther 2 only. So maybe this movie will be about what happened while T'Challa was snapped, and then Black Panther 3 will be about his return. So then we get 5 years before the recast. I really want to see T'Challa's story continue. You guys think that plan could work?
Interesting. I don't remember them specifically using that wording. Maybe you're right when they said it, but I think that it would be a bit of a bait and switch for them to say, we're not going to recast T'Challa. And then,
yeah, that'd be a real shit thing to do.
And then recast T'Challa 3 years later or whatever. That would be a little weird, but I feel like them saying they're not going to recast T'Challa is them saying T'Challa will not be recast ever. Yeah, but
like, we're done.
I don't know. I'd have to go back and listen to the actual wording, though. But I take what you're saying, Andre, as possible. I don't know. I obviously liked the character of T'Challa a lot, but I'm okay with them coming up with a new one who can maybe bring even a new light to this whole thing.
He says we will not recast the character to honor the legacy that Chad helped build. We will not recast the character, but we still want to explore the world. So it sounds a lot like it's full stop. They're not recasting T'Challa.
Yeah. And that Black mm-hmm. Panther 2 is coming, but they're not recasting T'Challa, period. I think that's how I took it.
Mean there's not going to be a Black Panther. They're just not recasting the character of T'Challa.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So.
Which is sad because he was so good.
Mm.
And important to the comics and an interesting
T'Challa
character.
Has such a history. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It's a real bummer, but I don't think they're going to recast it based
Fuck
on that
cancer.
Exact thing.
Fuck cancer. I was going to say it. You Fuck said it for cancer. Me.
We normally try to keep our language to like one or so fucks per episode, but
like a PG-13 movie. Yeah. Oh, we owe them a couple thousand.
We don't have it.
All right. Let's hit that next feedback.
JCJ says, hey guys, I always love what you both do, and I'm venturing into the other casts on the Stranded Panda Network, and they're just as amazing.
Hey, thank you, JCJ.
I'm now blowing up my friends' inboxes with episodes from all the shows now, and I'm sure they haven't blocked me yet. I just had a random thought on my commute home on the train.
Before he gets into his thought, let's just say thank you, JCJ, for throwing out the cast in people's inboxes. And I really think J. Scotty St. Clair, who's been guesting over on Bingers, also mentioned this, that like now that we're on video, it's a lot easier to share with their friends. So now that we're at youtube.com/strandedpanda, you can actually just share a video with your friends. So if you like an episode of the podcast, you just go over there, drop it in, and that's really fun and exciting, and we've been trying to grow this show for a long, long time, but it's kind of just grown organically, and it's thank you so much, JCJ, and for J. Scotty and all the other folks who've been sharing the show. It really is helping out a lot, so thanks.
Yeah, thank you for blowing your friends up.
Yes, thank you for annoying the shit out of them with Stranded Panda content. Really need more of that.
It's good discussion that they need to be a part of, obviously. And we know they're going to love it. So really, it's a public service that JCJ is doing.
We're not allowed to say any of that. But thank you guys for saying it.
Yeah. We can't do it. But thank you guys for doing it.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot of work. And it's good to know people, you know, that people love it.
They really like me.
So rewarding.
Yeah. No, thank you guys for sharing, for real. That means a lot.
Yes. Thank you. So JCJ also says, since Daredevil only just went back to Marvel and we won't see Matt Murdock help Peter Parker clear his name as Spider-Man / Mysterio's killer, what if we have Mysterio as the one bringing various villains from the Spider-Verse who have gotten close to killing their Spider-Man on their solo outing, but hopes that as a group, they can kill Tom Holland's Spider-Man since he's the only witness to Mysterio's crimes, which in turn brings Andrew and Toby into the MCU. And we see that story play out, but it ends with one of them coming out or being outed as Spider-Man to clear Tom Holland's Peter Parker. Kind of like how Superman would dress as Batman when Bruce Wayne was at risk of being revealed. Thank you both again for the amazing content and the company on these train rides home. Mm.
So the theory is that Mysterio, like the group that is still Mysterio, it uses other, kind of brings together your group to try to kill Peter Parker?
Yeah, they create the Sinister Six, basically.
Yeah.
Blah, the Sinister Six. Words are hard.
Yeah, right.
It seemed like I don't know that group necessarily has a real problem with Peter Parker. I guess except you mentioned he's the only witness. I don't know. I feel like all of London is a witness now because they all saw the those machines breaking down. So now it seems like they don't really. If it was still the same guy, Quentin Beckett or whatever, like I could see that he would be. Have a beef, but I feel like this group of people doesn't really have a beef with Peter Parker. At least not to the level. Mm-hmm. I feel like Scorpion is more likely, or
Vulture.
Vulture defended him in the end, you know?
Well, I don't think that he really defended him. I just think that he held on to that secret because he wants to be the one to do it.
Oh, I don't agree. I don't agree at all.
I didn't get that.
No, okay. He defended him. He saved his life because they're like, do you know who Peter Parker is? And he says, no, I don't. Because Peter, you know, saved his life. He saved his daughter or he cared about his daughter. And then he saved his life at the end. Instead of letting
him
die.
Him one. Like, he gave him that one because he saved his family, but that's probably going to be about all the leniency he gives him.
Hmm. I don't know. We've talked a lot about that, and I think I could totally see Toomes being the guy who's, like, in the Sinister Six, and then in the end ends up turning on them to save Peter. I just think he's a great character and a great actor, and I totally could see him being the Loki. We talked about who's going to be the Loki of the next phase. Like he could be a Loki.
Oh God. Mm. I need more of that Adrian Toomes.
He's going to be a Morbius, right? I wonder how that's all going to work.
Yeah. He showed up in the Morbius trailer, which we haven't seen any of lately.
We are all wondering what that's going to be like, how these Sony based movies where Marvel has no creative control, like, it's just up in the air. It could be amazing. They could make an amazing movie, but so far
they could make an amazing Spider-Man.
they have, in fact, made an amazing Spider-Man.
Two it was of all them. All them. Sony's Marvels.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. I really want to see them make a superior Spider-Man.
Ooh, Spider-Man superior.
What's up next in the feedback?
Daydream Cole says, "I'm sure multiple people have sent you news on this, but in case no one has yet." Disney is raising the price of Disney Plus by a dollar a month starting in March 2021. And the question that Dadrian says is, does this begin the price hikes or is it justified for the amount of content being released? Thinking face.
Both of those things is true. Like, yeah, this is the beginning of the price hikes. But yes, it's all, I mean, not even the beginning. They've been price hiking since they started. Like, they started with this crazy good deal where it was like, $100 for 3 years or whatever. And then
now
they price hiked it to normal price and now they're going up a little more and they're going to keep going up and they're going to, as long as they keep making the content as essential to my life as there have been, I will probably keep paying it. Unfortunately,
as long as the content existing justifies my existence on Earth, it's fine.
I got to stick around. There's another season of, Loki coming out.
I got six Marvel properties coming out on Disney Plus. Yeah. I gotta hang out for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely. How could I die? I don't know what Loki is gonna get up to next.
Yeah, I haven't seen Lady Loki play out. Let's see. Next up, Emily Sissel says, been listening to your cast on all the new stuff coming up, and the biggest thing my boyfriend and I want to see is Justin Hammer being a big part of Armor Wars. Sam Rockwell crushed that character, and I think that they could do great things with the character.
100%.
I concur. Yes.
Sam Rockwell is amazing.
I love watching him so much.
Like, especially after he got to mess with a suit in Iron Man 2, mm-hmm. and you know, do all of that. Like, he's been in prison for a while. He probably is out by now.
Yeah, it's all like white collar crime stuff, and there's no.
Yeah.
Is he probably getting out soon?
Yeah, yeah. He's probably getting out soon, but he could have also been doing the Wilson Fisk thing and funding different people from within, you know, like working it all out while in prison. And I really think that, you know, now that Stark is gone, Sam Rockwell, Justin Hammer probably really thinks that he has a chance to, you know, step up as the armor guy.
Yeah.
And you know, do that thing. And I really want to see Rhodey compete against all that.
Absolutely. If they're bringing back Tim Roth for She-Hulk, they should absolutely bring back Justin Hammer for and Sam Rockwell for Armor Wars and probably Ironheart, like any of those Iron Man related stuff that they've got coming down the pike. I would love to see Sam Rockwell come back for.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see. Next up, Iceman Festive AF says, need more Ash on these pods, LOL, but you guys are great.
Thank you for saying we're great, but we agree with you. Ash.
Guys, I can't take it.
We've gotten a lot of feedback saying how much you guys are loving producer Ash's new role on the podcast. She's been with us for many months over on Trivia Night and done a lot of Bingers Assemble and Pandavision episodes, and having her here on Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast has added a whole new dimension, and we thank you for being here, Ash.
You guys are just melting my icy heart. Like, seriously, like, I have all the feels every time I get those. You know, I'm very much a Barbara Minerva. So whenever somebody gives me a compliment, I'm like, oh, thank you. Oh, so really, thank you.
You're a Diana in our hearts.
Yeah, I don't know what any of those things mean. These are Wonder Woman jokes, you guys. I haven't watched
Wonder Woman yet. By the way, we should probably mention we also covered Wonder Woman 1984 on Bingers Assemble this week. Ash and Jay Scotty were the guest hosts, and it was awesome.
A good one.
Really excited that'll be live by the time this is live. So
check it out.
Tuscan Radio says, here's a screenshot I got from the Loki trailer. I've been saying for a year that they could kill all the Avengers in this show and it wouldn't matter. It seems like they're doing exactly that. Drew and WandaVision is supposed to... I'm sorry. It seems like they're doing that, Drew. And then a PS. And WandaVision is supposed to show the effects of the MCU on our world, as in the universe that we live in.
Huh. Interesting. I had not heard that WandaVision was supposed to show the effects on our world.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that might be some fan casting. But I think the screenshot that Tuscan Radio sent was of Loki in that ruined city, you know, with all the devastation around.
And you can see Avengers Tower destroyed in the background.
Yes, yeah.
And he's right. That is super fun about this show, that they could just kill off anyone, and it looks like they're just going to be doing multiple universes. This is going to be like the year of multiple universes on...
Yeah, I was just thinking on that.
Yeah.
Because we got WandaVision probably being multiverse.
Loki's probably multiverse.
Loki's probably multiverse. What If has the potential to be multiverse.
I mean, it is inherently multiverse.
Yeah. And then
Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness coming next year.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man's possibly
Spider-Man at the end connection. Of the year is multiverse.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of multiverse stuff.
It's happening.
How about that next one?
Stephen Wayne says, at MCUcast, just before the release of Endgame, I had tweeted that the Avengers logo looked an awful lot like a 4 if you knocked one of those legs off. Either I can see the future or Kevin Feige must listen to your show, good sirs.
You may be right. We often suspect he might be there. Kevin, you're sus.
I feel like we've covered that a lot. Kevin Feige definitely listens to us, and I'm Really wonder where my check is.
Yeah, he's a $5 subscriber on Lady Pates. You guys didn't know? On the Patreon? He keeps it undercover.
I had not seen his name on that list.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't put his name.
Oh, right.
He's ghostwriting us.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Or allowing us to ghostwrite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a good one. William Colby Carter has some contention. Adam, to you, guess, what is your producer Ash on about? Haley Steinfeld is pitch perfect casting. I have not been this excited for casting since Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Watch True Grit or Bumblebee. She is an Academy Award nominated actress. Judging her based on Pitch Perfect 3, dot, dot, dot. It seems there's some dissension there.
Listen, Nicolas Cage is an Academy Award winner. What does that say about him? Listen, I knew I was going to get fan mail. Is it her acting you like or her assets? Let's be clear.
So you're accusing William of Haley Steinfeld thirst?
I mean, yeah, maybe a little bit. So you could put Adam Driver in any one of these movies and I'd be like, he can be the Thing. He can be Johnny Storm. Can he just be everybody? I'm cool with that.
No, because
he can be Sue Storm. He's my Sue Storm.
We've already cast our everybody, and that's Bill Murray. Season one of the podcast, we had the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Bill Murray universe.
Season one of the podcast.
Whatever that means.
And I'm sorry, I didn't see Bumblebee. I don't like Michael Bay.
Did Michael Bay just produce it?
Who knows? The Transformer movies, they're movies.
It's all related to Michael Bay.
I didn't see that one.
I will say, those movies are amazing from an action standpoint. Like, the action is amazing.
I like the Mark Wahlberg one. He's like, yo, dinosaur robot, what are you doing with my daughter? Put her down. I'm going to call the police.
I'm going to call the cops.
I do. Those movies are amazing feats of action, directing, and like CGI. But they often lack in the character department.
I will go into this with an extremely open mind for her. And I will give you my feedback because maybe you're right. Maybe she's going to be great. True Grit was fine. But when you're in a movie with who was it? It was
Jeff Bridges.
And somebody else really famous. I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but someone else really famous is in that movie. So when you get two really famous, like, actors, I would hope that this new younger actress would take something from that. And I think that was what she got nominated for, right?
Probably.
Could have been, I don't know.
So she was fine in that. Did she stand out too much for that because of the other people? No, I don't think so. But I didn't like Pitch Perfect 2.
That's fair.
And I hope she's an amazing Kate Bishop, and I can't wait to enjoy her body of work. Specifically body.
Yeah.
I like that she had a statement recently that came up in, you know, the news articles where she has been diving into the comics of Kate Bishop a whole lot and has promised that there will be a comics accurate representation of Kate Bishop on screen.
That's right.
I like that dedication.
Yeah, I like absolutely. That the actor is saying they have anything to do with the writing.
Yeah, right.
She's really, really anti Haley Steinfeld.
No, I wasn't trying to do that. I can't wait.
All right, let's. What's Beck got to say?
Beck says, any Marvel nerds, if you're not already, get on the @MCUcast train because it is simply the best podcast out there for theories and just generally nerding out, especially this episode. Thanks for getting me through working from home, gents.
Choo-choo.
Thank you, Beck. That really means a lot to us. You rock for sharing that on Twitter.
Look, more of the street team. I love it.
Yeah, it really like... We built the show by just doing it for a really long time with no real attempt at growth. It just kind of happened, and we really are so thankful for that.
We were just like, let's talk on the internet, and then people will come, right?
Yeah. Sure. But this year with the pandemic, we've kind of had to turn our focus a lot more to this, and especially me, not our other jobs. And so it means a lot that you guys are out there sharing the show. It's helping us grow and helping us be able to do more of this and all of our other shows that we've started. It really means the world. Thank you so much to Beck as well.
Jonathan Jacob came at us with, hey guys, I was thinking about the Eternals movie and I was wondering whether you think the Eternals were affected by the snapping. I don't think in the comics they were, but the MCU is never afraid to change things up. And if they were caught up in it, why do you think they didn't interfere when it happened? Stay safe and love you 300.
I would think they would be.
Yeah, I would think they would be part of half of the universe.
Yeah, they're just half of the universe. They're part of the universe. They would also be snapped, as far as I would guess.
I don't know that... were they, for lack of a better term, active at the time? Like, had they been activated? Are we going to get...
We don't know. We have no idea what's been going on with them.
Yeah, we don't know if they were dormant.
But Eternals. Even so, they're still like the Eternals are just one of the three life forms that were left on Earth. It was like the Eternals, the Deviants, and the humans. And like, there's no real reason they are different. At least, as far as I understand it, they'd be like unaffected, unless they just have some special power to avoid the power of Infinity Stones. But we haven't seen that yet.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think Celestials, maybe I could see like the Celestials weren't affected, maybe because they maybe are like a beyond or above the Infinity Stones. But I feel like the Eternals would have been.
Yeah, I feel like the Celestials were probably involved in the creation of the Infinity Stones.
True. Of course, we saw a Celestial using an Infinity Stone at one point in Guardians of the Galaxy. So like if they're using it and they're using it. Its power, like, does that mean they're affected by it? Like, I don't know. Maybe even the Celestials were affected. Who knows?
Could have been.
Yeah. No clue is the answer.
Yeah, no real clue. But I would like to see in Eternals. It's so hard to not put the V on it. I'd like to see in Eternals have the characters interact with Infinity Stones in the past. Because, you know, there's like distant past that they deal with a lot.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of that action.
Especially with Thanos, possibly. Thanos has his origins with the Eternals. Thanos, a young Thanos, has been rumored to appear possibly even in Eternals. So if we got more of his backstory, like maybe he has an experience with an Infinity Stone earlier on that like clues him into their power and their usefulness. Like that could all be really kind of just fun fan service, interesting stuff.
Yeah. I would like the connection to the Infinity Stones to stay strictly fan servicey. Cause like, I don't know. I feel like the Infinity Stones.
They've done it. They've done the thing.
Yeah. The Infinity Stones are played out almost.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, let's move on from those.
Yeah. And let's move on from that question. Let's get into the next thing.
Riley A. Zielski says, "Hey, Matt and Jeff, first time writing in some feedback. This pertains to who will take up the mantle of the Black Panther after Chadwick Boseman's devastating passing. Personally, I don't think it'll be Shuri yet. I think M'Baku will be first. Seeing as though M'Baku survived the snap and Shuri and T'Challa didn't, the throne and mantle of the Black Panther were left open for 5 years. T'Challa trusted M'Baku, and so did Nakia and Okoye, so that leads me to think that he stepped in for those 5 years. Yes, I know no heart-shaped herb, but hey, movie magic," waves fingers. "I'm not sure that Shuri is ready to be the Black Panther, and maybe that's a storyline that the sequel will feature, though she will definitely take up the mantle. Maybe at the end of the second movie or the third. Those are my thoughts on it. But honestly, whatever they choose to do, I'm sure that it'll be great. What are yours? Best, Riley."
Man, so this is a much longer conversation than we, like, a quick answer. I like that. Like, I think all of your thoughts there, Riley, are very valid. Yeah, I've actually been putting, sort of storing up, like, a Black Panther replacement episode of feedback because there's been so many people writing in about it. I don't know. I really don't know. I think I could see like a story of like a young Wakandan who like during the 5 years comes up through the ranks of the whatever the Wakandan society and like kind of comes out of nowhere and becomes the leader. You know what I mean? Like I could see some story like that, sort of a throwing off the chains of the monarchy sort of deal. I don't know. I could see a lot of that being interesting.
It's like a Hamilton type story, except it's Wakanda.
Sure. Like, or just I was more thinking Star Wars, you know, like you got the, well, and then it ended up not being the case, but like, that's second in the sequel trilogy where you, Rian Johnson one, where you find out comes from nothing, you know, Like, yeah. I always think that's a powerful idea when you find out that, like, the character who is now needs to lead them comes from nothing. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, could be.
So it's just kind of, that's an off the wall theory that we could throw in there with everything else.
It's such a big discussion.
Yeah, they could do anything.
You know, the whole like casting thing, like it's tough with this character in particular, because like, you know, looking in the past historically, Marvel has not been really afraid to recast. Like, you know, Terrence Howard got tossed out in favor of Don Cheadle for Rhodey after first Iron Man. We had Bruce Banner go from Edward Norton to Mark Ruffalo. Like they haven't been afraid of it, but those characters in particular haven't really, I don't know that I would necessarily say that they haven't mattered, but like, you know, the actor who plays those characters hasn't really been that important. And those particular characters haven't really been that important in like the public zeitgeist, you know?
Sure, sure. The previous recastings weren't as culturally important, and they also weren't as tragic. Right. It was all just business stuff. So there's just a lot of reasons why this one's a little different.
Yeah. And this one is kind of soul crushing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to think about for real.
That being said, I don't know that it's necessarily a discussion I like having, like, or can even comprehend having.
It's hard to get into. Yeah. We you know, for a while we were like, let's give it a beat. We don't want to like get into it just yet. But it's probably time to start having these discussions, and I'm fine with having them. It's just they're still hard. They're hard, and they're hard to like know anything about. Like, I don't know what they're going to do. They could literally do anything. We have a voicemail. You guys want to hear our voicemail?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey guys, this is Steele. I just, I enjoy everything you do. First time calling in, but I love listening to your guys' podcasts as I'm out delivering packages and driving the big brown truck. But I'm listening to the What If trailer breakdown today, and I heard you guys talk a couple times about we don't really know what Doctor Strange's what if is in the trailer. And it sparked this thought in my head that what if Doctor Strange is going down all these different timelines with all these what ifs, that he's trying to keep things together, and it kind of leads into Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. Just a fun little thought. I don't know if it matches up with any of the comics or anything like that, but I thought that was kind of a fun idea, like maybe leading up to Multiverse of Madness. Just an idea, but would love to hear you guys talk about it, and keep up the great work, guys. Love you, and hope you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Steele. Love you too. And yeah, that is a cool theory. I don't know what if falls in timeline, like release with the other stuff. That definitely seems like it could be a thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know where it is in the like in the canon timeline. Like, obviously, we're getting it in summer.
That's when what if comes in summer.
Yeah, it comes in summer, but we don't know like where it falls within the canon.
Oh, yeah, I'm in release. When does Multiverse of Madness come out?
Multiverse of Madness comes out 2022.
Yeah, I love that you have this in our doc now. It's like in our doc all the release dates, because we're gonna need to constantly reference it at this point.
Yeah, we really need to make like a graphic that we just like a calendar that we have up above our computers.
Yeah, just put it on the wall.
Look up and be like, oh yeah, it's right there.
Yeah, oh, that one. Yeah, that's coming soon. Yeah. Yeah. So I think this is a really cool idea, Steele. Thanks for calling in. It absolutely makes sense. I don't know that that's what they're doing with What If, because they've already got the Watcher who is going to be like
Uatu
telling these stories. So I don't know that they're going to put a connective thread through them, but if they were going to, this would be a really cool one where Doctor Strange could be like trying to fix each of the stories in itself. But I think they're trying more for an anthology type thing where like Uatu is just like the crypt keeper of this version of reality.
Yeah. I really think that fight between the two Doctor Stranges is potentially a thing for, you know, leading us to multiverse.
Okay. Yeah, especially if he like meets up with that Doctor Strange, or like that, if one of those two Doctor Stranges is our Doctor Strange, that would be really interesting.
Right. If one of those is our Doctor Strange, then like it could very easily be a let's travel through the multiverse kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be the only thing that actually connects directly to the current MCU, if that's the case. Right.
And, you know, if so, it puts it into a light of like where Kevin Feige said this is the first animated thing in the MCU, like specifically saying this is in the MCU.
Yeah.
So like there has to be some sort of connective tissue there, right? Rather than just, you know, if it's just the voices or whatever and saying like,
sure,
you know, these are alternate things, whatever. Like having the people do the voices is just like smart, you know, for bringing fans in. But like if they actually have it connected with one of the characters, Doctor Strange is the one that makes the most sense.
For sure. Yeah, I love it. Thanks, Steele. That's a good idea. It'd be really cool. I don't know if they're all going to connect that way, but at least the Doctor Strange episode may.
I'll take as many Doctor Stranges as they want to give me on screen at once.
There's a comic, What If, and it's What If Doctor Strange Were a Disciple of Dormammu?
Oh,
goodness.
That's I wonder rough. If that's what it is.
That could be
I wonder it. If that's one of them. That's what the Dark Doctor Strange is.
The dark magic. Oh, yeah, I love
he's
that.
He's using different kinds of magic. That could be it. Hey, we need to shut her down here in a second. But Ash, is there anything going on in the chat that you wanted to bring forth, throw this way?
A couple things. Sick with it 87, and we're chatting about how Bill Burr would be pretty fun as the Thing.
Oh,
I would absolutely love that.
It's clobbering time.
Yeah. His voice is a little high, but.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what would be funny about it. This big lumbering guy with, yeah, you guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he has a very high pitched voice. I think he'd be cool. I have never seen him play. If we take it seriously, I've never seen him play with much pathos, if that makes sense. Like I've seen him do a lot. He's a comedian, and all the roles I've seen him play in this most recent season of Mandalorian, there's a little bit of that. But I don't know, Ben Grimm, the like tragedy of Ben Grimm hits me in the feels, and I'd like to see that play out, played well.
Yeah. After The Mandalorian, though, I would give him a little, I would let him do a screen test.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I'd let him wear a little bit of the rig and see if it works.
Yeah.
Sickwith has kind of been crushing it, 87. Again, he said, do you guys think Kevin Feige and the other powers that be can keep the momentum of the MCU going for another 10 years? Or do you feel they'll never top the Infinity Saga?
Ooh, man, that's a tall order because the Infinity Saga was so damn good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the issue with that is we don't know what's coming. And because we don't know what's coming up, it's putting us into this limbo state of like, you know, we don't know what the next big arc is going to be all about other than like, multiverse is a part of it, but you know, where do we go from here has been that question that we've been asking ourselves for over a year at this point. And it, you know, it keeps coming up in our conversations, and the short answer is we don't know. The long answer is it could be it could be a lot of things that could go any direction. And we've had a bunch of our What If episodes be about that. And there's so many directions they could go. Hell, they could go all of these directions at once, you know, because like Eternals is supposed to be a completely new and different thing. Mm-hmm. They could be over, you know, doing whatever they're doing while over here we've got multiverse going on. And, you know, the universe has grown so big to the point of where they can be doing all of these different things at the same time.
It's so true.
Like that's a lot of plates in the air, but they've done such a good job already.
We all have Fantastic Four PTSD.
Yep.
Nothing stays on top forever. And eventually one day we will have a problem with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It will not continue to make the perfect things that we've all loved. But I think it's got some life in it yet. And I think that the way that they're going about it now, where they're going to be having, especially with everyone getting so used to pandemic life and being home, and we're going to start getting an episode a week drop in the MCU that's actually in the MCU with the actors, where you can sit down with your Disney Plus and enjoy every week. This, it's like the hype train is just going to constantly be going and chugging along under the surface. And then when these big movies happen, they're just a part of this bigger conversation. And it's, I feel like, and in many ways, I feel like what the conversation we've been having on this podcast for 6 years is about to enter the zeitgeist of everyone, because we've been having the conversations of like, oh, what happens if S.H.I.E.L.D. connects with this? But now it's like, oh, that's actually happening. Like, these things are actually connecting. And so I think in many ways it's going to engender some deeper fans that it hasn't had in the past. Now, whether it can maintain broad appeal while doing that is, that's a whole nother thing. And I don't know.
I think that the, you know, you bring up pandemic times. I think that the pandemic and the shutdown and like the loss of content for like a year and a half, almost two, I think that that has done a lot of good for us, you know, the society as a whole, because like, you know, we've been without content for so long, we kind of had a reset, you know, somebody pushed the reset button.
It's definitely, so, Marvel has benefited from the fact that no one like everyone's missing Marvel content. Like for a while, I would have thought we were getting close to saturation with Marvel content, but now it's like huge gap has happened. And
give it some time to permeate and kind of spread out. And now we're all just like, come on, give me WandaVision.
Yeah, exactly. If WandaVision had been right after Endgame, we would have been like, all right, another show. And instead we're like, oh my gosh, it's time. It's so time. We've been waiting.
Bring my friends back.
And with all that being said,
my friends are coming back.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. This is all the time we have for feedback today. We are going to be back with you next week, and then the next, and then with WandaVision. And we're going to try to start figuring out how we can do these shows on sort of a consistent basis live. So we'll be announcing that on the show soon so that other people can join live, because right now we're still in very much in... whenever we can fit in the MCU cast, we do. But I'd love to get this where more of you guys can join us for the live streams, because this is a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us, Producer Ash.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You da bomb. Thank you so much. And we'll be back with you soon. Peace.
Bye.
Until next time, true believers.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.